heart the voice of love and mercy sound.
Such a blessing that we have to gather one more time at the conclusion of our meeting this week. Brother David, that luggage satchel worked.
It did.
You preached better. I told him the other day, I said, you got that new satchel, it's going to help you preach, brother. Y'all know I'm kidding. That had nothing to do with it. But we're just thankful that this brother has been blessed to preach so ably to us, for us. And we know where that came from. It didn't come from a satchel. It came from the Lord. We know that. But we like to fund a little bit. There is a place for a little bit of that. And we're thankful for that. We're blessed to see in all of this preaching that we've been blessed to witness. Above all, the Lord high and lifted up, as Isaiah saw there. And David told us in the 50th Psalm, he said, the mighty God, even the Lord, have spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Sometimes the earth in Scripture spoken of as those rocks and dirt outside. Sometimes it's speaking of His church. And in the next verse he tells us here, out of Zion, and he describes Zion, the perfection of beauty. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Y'all, he's shined this weekend. The Lord has shined. And not only has he shined upon us.
Right.
And we've been blessed to witness it in the preaching of his word. There's a mystery to the preaching of the word. It can't be described. It's incomprehensible. And when a man's blessed to preach and feels like he's been blessed to preach, there's no feeling like it.
That's right, brother.
I can't describe it. And when you're not blessed to preach, there's no feeling like it.
It's no worse feeling.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
But this brother has been blessed to preach to us, and we were blessed to hear. And I'm just thankful to the Lord for that. And I know you are. I know you are. I know the church was sitting in anticipation and waiting for the words of comfort that we heard, instruction and comfort, and that we would be lifted up in the most holy faith, edified, built up in the things that we need being built up in. Because you know there's so much out there to tear us down, isn't it? You don't have to look far to find that. It's right around the corner. In fact, it's going to greet us at the door. It's probably going to greet us while we're sitting here. Satan does come in. The discourager in chief.
That's
who he is.
That's good.
He's the one says you can't do it. It's no use. Why? He's the one. Yet the Lord tells us, I've prepared the way for you. May we be blessed to see that and to walk therein in what he has given us. I'm going to ask Brother David, Lord willing, to come in a few minutes and preach for us one last time while he's here. And Brother David, I've known Brother David for years, and he's as Paul said, he's willing to spend and be spent in the service of the Lord. What he has, he gives out freely, knowing that the Lord will replenish. He doesn't hold back. In fact, any man of God who's blessed to preach, that is going to be his attitude and spirit. I give it away freely, because the one that gave me that's going to replenish it. May that be our attitude and spirit about what we have. Give it away. Give it away. Are there names that we need to lift up this morning in prayer? Those that might be on our minds and hearts, those you can think of?
Brother Jerry, I spoke to Sister Alva Jean Stump this morning.
Yes, sir.
He's out of the hospital.
Right.
He did fall.
Yes.
His head on the concrete in the driveway. He does have a concussion. He has blood on the brain, but the doctor still said that would dry up, and he's in his room.
Wonderful. Wonderful. There was a post on that leg yesterday afternoon. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you for mentioning that. So we're indeed thankful that Brother Ernie looks like much better than he was. Brother Pete.
Rachel's going to be traveling back
home. Continue to remember the Green family. It was good to see Brother Tommy here this weekend for some, and we encourage that young brother and his family at this time. Several of those churches that we mentioned that are without pastors, continue to bless them. Pray. We pray for them that the Lord would, in His mercy, send them who He would have come their way. We pray for struggling churches. All of us. Hey, we're all struggling.
Yes, we are.
You show me a church that's not struggling, it's in trouble.
That's right, brother.
It's in trouble.
Yeah. Amen. Tell us.
It's in trouble. They're like those, was it the Laodiceans?
Yeah.
We're fat and happy and in need of nothing. And when that spirit takes over, we're headed for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
May we always remember that what the Lord says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, without me you can do nothing. May we always remember that. We're all struggling.
That's right.
Pray for us struggling churches, all of us.
Yes, sir.
May we keep the spirit and attitude of a servant in struggle. There are no others that we can think of. If you'll bow with me, we're going to go to the...
Also,
sir.
Barbara Rawls,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
She has a cold now. So.
We pray for those that cannot come. We pray for those who will not come.
Amen.
We have those that will not come. Our Lord can soften hardened hearts.
That's right.
He can. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. If you'll bow with me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You, Lord. Although we're in need, we come to You also, Lord, with hearts of gratitude. We're so grateful, Lord, for what You have allowed us to witness here. we are so grateful that you've allowed to hear one of your little boys, one of your ministering servants, come before your people and preach to them, Lord, words of comfort and strengthening and encouragement in a time of darkness. Lord, we thank you for that light that we're blessed to hear and understand. We thank you, Lord, for many things. We thank you, not the least of which, Lord, is our church. We ask that you, particularly right now at this time, Lord, bless El Bethel Church. Bless us in the community where you have planted us in Tampa, that we, Lord, might be as a light on a hill which cannot be hid. May we be a church, Lord, that is having an impact in the community where we're planted. Lord, that our light may shine before men, that others might see our good works. Not just for the sake of the church as an institution, but this church, Lord, might shine, which is a reflection of the light, which is Jesus Christ. Lord, this gospel message that you've given us, which comforts your children and blesses them in their pilgrimage walk here. Bless each of us, Lord, that make her up. And we pray for growth, Lord, in whatever way you would have that to come to us. Because we know, Lord, that all growth comes from you. Bless this young ministering servant, Lord. Bless him in his ministry, in his life. Bless him, Lord, that he would feel the manifest presence of you in his life, in his preaching, in his studies, and in his everyday life. Just, Lord, encourage him in the things that he might be blessed to do, that he might go on. Bless those who he serves, Lord, in his field of labor, where he's at. And bless all of your ministering servants, all of your people, Lord, that wherever they're at, that we might continually look to you as the one who is the one who is the source of everything that we have. Go with us now, Lord, in the remainder of this, that in all things you might be glorified. It's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen.
And amen.
Come here, brother.
God bless you. God bless you, dear Brother Jerry. Thank you. Thank you. I'm thankful to be with you here today, this morning, and trust and pray that the Lord will be with us as I believe that he has up until now in this service, and even in between the services and our fellowship we had last night. I really thoroughly enjoyed it, and I feel that was a time of refreshing for me, and I trust it was for you. I want to just to say a few things before the sermon proper. I want to thank El Bethel Church for your very kind hospitality. There are two wonderful things I can say about a church. Number one is that I feel the Spirit of the Lord there. Number two is that I feel at home. And I can say that about El Bethel Church. I felt the Spirit here, and I feel very much at home. Sometimes I think I may feel too much at home here because I'm not on my best behavior. I kind of, I forgot my company manners when I'm with y'all. So if I get a little bit over the top, then just don't worry about it. I'm thankful and rejoice with you here that you have Brother and Sister Williams here among you. And that's a great blessing for you, as you well know. It took the whole country by surprise when he and Sister Jeanine came out here. We just thought they're Mississippi fixtures. You go to Mississippi, that's where the Williams are, and that's the way it shall be. And I've been to Mississippi probably about five times since they've come out here. And I didn't see him, so I guess it really is true. It really is. He did. They did go to Tampa, Florida. And now I'm going to tell everybody when I get back, they're there. They really are. We're just going to need to get over it and get past it. But I say that facetiously. I say that, thankful for the Lord, for you, for both you, Brother Jerry, Sister Jeanine. It's a good thing to find a church that's your home, your home church.
Amen. Yeah.
Home church doesn't mean that that's where you grew up.
Right.
It may be very, very far from where you grew up, but it's where the Lord desires you to be. And that's true not just for the pastor, but for every member that is gathered together. It's good to be at home. So with that in mind, I would like to turn into the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to John. Yesterday morning, I looked at, in the book of Acts, of a lame man that begged by the gate called Beautiful. And the fifth chapter of John deals with another lame man who laid at this place called Bethesda, the pool of Bethesda. Now, I'm not going to get into that whole healing experience because there's a lot that I have that I want to talk about, if the Lord will bless, afterwards. The aftermath of this healing. And that's a lot have been my focus lately. And in my trying to pastor the church there at Fredericksburg, trying to shepherd my little family, trying to walk the walk of faith, fight the good fight of faith, is that I want to know, is the Lord in the matter? What matter? Whatever matter I'm dealing with. Is the Lord in the matter? Wouldn't it have been good if y'all called Brother Jerry, he accepted to come out here, and then you realize, nope, if the Lord wasn't in it. It wouldn't have been good for you. It wouldn't have been good for them. I trust you prayed for it, but you know, sometimes you really don't know until it happens. And how I know, blessed, happy, may I even say relieved, when you felt like this is of the Lord. Try to study all that out, and this may be good, this may not be good. But I like to know, I know it was the hand of God, and I know it was of the Lord, and I know it's based upon the power of God and the leadership of the Spirit, which permitted, allowed, engineered this thing to happen, that a church in Tampa, Florida, without a pastor for many years, would find a pastor many miles away, one that no one thought would ever leave that area, and it worked out. Now that's a startling and impressive thing, in my opinion. That's not a little thing. It's not little to you. It affected your life. It's affected how you think, and it's given you, I trust, great encouragement, and now you have even a hope for the future.
Right.
See, that's nothing. That's not nothing.
Right.
That's big. It's a big thing, and it's a good thing. And you know, you look back and you say, how did we get to that decision? How did he get to that decision? And you look at things that happened and you think, well, maybe that seemed insignificant at the time. But it played out to be very significant. And I'm not saying it happened here, but I've looked at events in my life and I see things like that looking back, because hindsight is very 20/20. And the reason I bring all this up is because, well, if I can look back and see things that happened, it might sharpen my focus for the present. And it may allow me to see Jesus better than I see him now. It may bless me with wisdom and discretion. It may save me from discouragement. It may encourage me to go on. And it may help me to encourage others. So we go back to the Bible and I see things that happen that don't seem important. But you look at it, you meditate on it, and you see all of a sudden, well, there's more to meets the eye in this. Okay? So in the third chapter of Acts, a man who laid by, I'm not turning there, I'm just referring to it, the lame man by the gate called Beautiful, been there for many years, and he's healed. We like to think about it. We tried to talk about it yesterday. He leapt, he walked, and he went into the temple. That's a beautiful story. It's a story of inspiration. It really happened. But the story didn't end with him going into the temple. We don't see him after that, but events transpired based upon that healing. And just to sum it all up, one of the great things that happened as a result of that healing is that almost 5,000 people believed the gospel because of that healing. Or it started with that healing. 5,000 lives were impacted on that one event. Now that's pretty significant. That's pretty cool. Talked about my experience, and there were things that were going on in my life that I did not know at the time that surfaced later that had a tremendous impact. And when I was in great discouragement, at the time, the Lord was at work taking care of me. Now we sing, "The Lord leads His dear children along." Did you know that that statement is absolutely true? Do you know that? What we ought to do is follow that leadership and trust that His leadership will never bring us into trouble. It's always true. It's always correct. Now, in the 5th chapter of John, a man has been laying at this pool for many years. It says a long time. So I don't know how long that is, but it says a long time. For him, the only cure for his disability, he can't walk, he's paralyzed, is to get down to that pool because an angel troubled the water and the first one in was healed. That really happened. That happened just exactly the way the Bible said. He couldn't do it because he was lame. He couldn't do it. This was a speed race. You have a lame man who's going to try to be first in a 100-yard dash. My money is not on him. But that's all he knows. And he has endless, endless frustration. That's what you get in the world. I've just described to you every business meeting I've ever been to. Every business model is based upon this. You've got to be first. You've got to be best. It's competition. You've got to beat the competition. You do whatever it takes to beat the competition. If you've got to bend or break rules, you get there. It's survival. This is survival. And this is, if you have to intimidate, you do it. You do whatever it takes. You run over people to get there. That's happened. Yeah. That happened on the Pool of Bethesda. It doesn't say it did, but I know people, and I'm very sure it did. Somebody probably hired some thugs to keep people back. Somebody cheated, and they won. They won. They got there first, and they were healed. That really happened. You say it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make any sense. The Bible is not written so it would make sense to you. God did not check out with me and you, say, "I want you to make sure I'm going to run this by you before I inspire this to be written." He didn't do it. So you're going to have to read it and trust it. So all that really happened. That's every business model. That's every plan of success. And sad to say, some churches are built upon that model. It's, as Brother Walton said, it's numbers, it's money, it's attendance, it's how things look and appear to people. Now, Jesus comes into this sea of trouble. And he goes to the one man that is guaranteed to lose. And he says to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Yeah, wow, how about what a statement that is. And the man is so caught up in his situation. I don't think he understands the statement or the question that Jesus made, because all he could see is his inabilities and the fact that he did not have what is needful to get to the only place he knew of to get healed. And so he focuses on that and he said, "Sir, I have no man." And he did have a man, and he was looking at the man. "Behold the man." All right. Now Jesus said, the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't wait to meet him face to face. What a day that's going to be. And he just says, he tells him to do three things. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Now, if you've got your Bibles open, I want you to read it with me. This is found in John chapter 5 and verse 8. "Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." Now my question to you is, I have two questions for you. If you've read this with me, you've heard this before. I have two questions. You don't have to answer it. Answer it in your mind. See if you can answer these two questions. My first question is this: why did Jesus tell him to take up his bed? Second question is, why did the Scriptures tell us that the same day was the Sabbath? Why would we need to know that? Because we need to know that because the Bible says it. Therefore, we need to know. There's not a wasted word in the Scriptures, in these writings. And so, why did we need to know that that day was the Sabbath? And why did Jesus tell him to take up his bed? Because he's not going to need that bed anymore.
Amen.
All right? Right. It's like if a man who was paralyzed was made whole, it would be like, "Now, take that wheelchair with you everywhere you go. You don't need the wheelchair." To me, it would be a symbolic thing to leave it behind with all this sickness and trouble. I'm going to leave the trouble behind and I'm going to go forward. I've actually preached sermons like that. I've said things like that at communion. I've actually said that in communion and before feet washing. Did y'all know that primitive Baptists don't always get along? I'm sorry, it's a dirty little secret, but did y'all know that? Did you know that some primitive Baptists actually fuss and fight? I hate to tell you this. I'm sorry to break your bubble, but primitive Baptists can fight. And a lot of times in my pastoring churches, we come to the communion feet washing, and people say, "Well, I'm not going to go to feet washing because I have ought against somebody, or somebody has ought against me." And so they deny themselves the ordinance. Which they're wrong in doing that. If you ever felt that way,
Amen.
You need to change your mind.
Amen.
If you feel that way now, you need to repent of it.
Amen.
Because you're wrong.
Right.
Come to me and I'll tell you to your face. You're wrong. You're
right.
W-R-O-N-G. You're wrong. If you feel that way, you can't be more wrong.
Yes.
You need to get over it. Get over yourself. Get over your hurt feeling. Brother Bill's clearing his throat. "Oh, I'm okay. I'm..." Brother Bill says he's walking. He's reading my mail. He's walking on my front. I know you got allergies. You got allergies. He's got these allergies. He's got these very convenient allergies. He always clears his throat when the preacher's getting on his case. But you see, if I didn't like him, just imagine what I'd say about Brother Bill Lyon. But that was very timely clearing of the throat, Brother Bill. You couldn't have done it at a better time. Thank you very much. I've told people this, though. And here's back to the point. I've told people this. I said, like, "Listen, if you got on against somebody, we're going into the ordinance. That's the one person whose feet you need to wash. You need to find that person and wash their feet."
Amen. Amen, brother.
And then you leave that grudge in the water. And I've told them that. Brother Jerry's told them that. I've told people when they're baptized, I said, "Now, your former life, you know, this thing, you are making a dedication to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like you're being married to the Lord."
Right.
And you leave that life behind in that water. I've told people that. This would have been a good time to say something like that. Leave thy bed. That's what I would say. Leave thy bed. Rise. Get out of your bed and walk. But he said, no, take thy bed and carry your bed and walk carrying your bed. And it was the Sabbath. The Lord declareth the end from the beginning. The Lord knoweth what we have need of before we ask. The Lord is in control. The Lord knoweth the details, and the Lord is in the details. And when we think that it's not working, it's not happening, things are not good, it's happening, we just can't see it. Because we see through a glass darkly.
Right.
We cannot see afar off. We don't have perfect spiritual perception. And that's why life is by faith. That's why we have to walk by faith. Because faith, when truly exercised, is very perceptive. Now, in heaven, we're not going to need faith. We're going to walk by sight in heaven. Because we will know as we are known. But now, the best we can do is walk by faith. And the worst thing we can do is not walk by faith. So the Lord knew. Today's the Sabbath. Today is the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do certain things on the Sabbath. And he knew that these agitators were out there. This, the law police was out there. These sticklers who only see what they want to see and miss the joy and the beauty of it. And he knew, Jesus Christ knew, that when that man was seen walking on the Sabbath day carrying his bed, they're going to get upset about it. And they did. And they did. They did. And instead of rejoicing that this man can walk, they say, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. And that began a discussion and started things, and the result of these trivial to me, to you perhaps, details came out in some of the most wonderful scriptures in the Word of God. Of which blesses us today. Now that is awesome to me. And I love to see these things. I like to know more about Jesus, you see. And because the more I know about him, well, it's just better. And it helps me now. It helps me today. And it helps me in my situations and in my problems and in my dealings. And it helps me to encourage us all. Because the Lord is just not in heaven watching us, just not really caring, or it's like a TV show, or we're not here for the Lord's amusement. He careth for you. As a mother hen careth for her chicks, so the Lord careth for us. And he daily blesses us. You know, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We need the Lord every day, don't we? And bless us, Father. And this day, bless us tomorrow. Help us in what we're dealing with now. You see, I've told you about our church there at home. I know God can turn things around. I know the Lord can open doors of opportunity. My prayer is that we'll recognize that. And that when we see if there's something we need to do, that we will do it. And may God give us that faith. Strengthen us with that faith. And I pray that it is His will that we continue as a church. That may be selfish, but that's my prayer. And if it's not His will, then help me to be reconciled. Because I know this. I believe that God exists. And I know that He heareth our petitions. And I know that He says, you ask in my name, and you will have the petitions. I know that James said, you have not because you ask not. But then he said this, you have not because you ask amiss. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? He explains it. He says that you may consume it upon your lust. You want it to make you look good. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what we think. But I pray that God will give us a discerning mind that what we think is true and right. And if we're going to be stubborn, let's be stubborn about the truth. And may we have that boldness and that courage to go and keep going and never faint. Because I know that the Scripture says to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if... that's an if statement, isn't it? I'm a computer programmer. I like those if statements. If, then, else. This is an if statement. If you faint not. That word faint means to quit. It's where we get our English word to punt. What happens when they punt the ball? They quit. They give up. They're giving the ball to the team. They think, well, we'd rather them have the ball further down than we're not going to make it and they have it up here. Friends, there's no punting the ball because we're dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Did you know that statement right there is in itself in response to a very trivial thing that happened? Because that's one of my favorite scriptures. There's nothing too hard for the Lord, right? You ought to like that too. Because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. How many things are too hard for the Lord? Nothing. Isn't there one thing that's too hard for... No. No, there's nothing. There's nothing. No, you can't. I bet if we got all together, we could think of one thing that's too hard for the Lord. No, we can't. No, that was said by an angel because Sarah laughed when she heard she was going to have a baby. That's right. She laughed. Actually, it was the Lord. I believe it was the Lord there that with Abraham. I believe in the Lord Jesus and two angels.
Amen.
Okay. I love that statement. I love that. A minister is allowed to chase one rabbit per sermon. Here's my rabbit. I'm going to chase a rabbit. I don't know what that rabbit word means. It means I had a thought, I'm going to pursue it. I'm not going to do it. We're going back. All right, no, we're going to go with it. You know, the Lord and the angels came to talk to Abraham, and Abraham and the Lord said, where's thy wife? Where's thy wife? A husband needs to know where his wife is, and a wife needs to know where her husband is at all times. And it was good that he knew where Sarah was, and it's good that she knew where he was. And he says she's in the tent. And did you know what Sarah was doing in the tent? She was doing what every good and proper wife should do. In that circumstance, she was eavesdropping. Amen. She probably had a tape recorder or a sound amplifier. She wasn't going to miss this. Well, the Lord knew where she was. She's in the tent. The Lord said, okay. And then he made that pronouncement. She laughed. The Lord said, why did she laugh? Sarah said, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. By her second rabbit. This is half a rabbit. Did you know that before Sarah laughed, Abraham himself laughed? Did you know Abraham laughed? Abraham laughed. But it said he fell down laughing. Okay, this was where we'd get rolling on the floor laughing. It comes from the scriptures. Abraham fell on his face in laughter when the angel said, Sarah will have a child. And now they call this name Isaac, which means what? Laughter. Okay. All right, so one of the greatest scriptures came as a result of something trivial. Now, I've got 24 minutes to tell you about some of the greatest scriptures that happened because this man was told to pick up his bed on the Sabbath day. They found him. They saw him walking. Why are you carrying your bed? You can't carry your bed. It's the Sabbath day. And then man said, well, he that bid me arise. I love that one. Did you miss the fact that I'm walking and I was lame? Did you sort of miss that one? He that bid me arise told me to do this. And they said, Who is this man? He said, I don't know who he was. I don't know. Jesus found the man, revealed himself to him. The man was so happy, he was telling people about it, and the law police, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the priests and all that, they got upset, they got mad, they cornered the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we're going to get him now. How dare he? Heal on the Sabbath day. And they said, you can't do that. Jesus looks at them right in the eye. This is verse 17. It said, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And then the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now they're really upset. And now you read what Jesus says to them. And keep in mind who he's talking to. He says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. You're going to see something more incredible than this. Than a man who was lame, walking, carrying his bed. He told them to carry his bed to get these guys' attention. That's why. And he's making a point. Because the Sabbath, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man.
Right.
And that is a day of rest. It is a day of blessing. It is a day of rest in labor. That's what we're doing right now. Labor to enter into that rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, burden is light, and ye shall have rest for your souls. This is the refreshing labor we have in with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is our Sabbath. That we meet together on the first day of the week. That's another sermon altogether. That's another sermon. But this is the Christian Sabbath. This is the day. My friends, the Lord rose from the dead on the first day of the week. That's why we meet on this day. And we're recognizing the resurrection of the dead. Starting with our Lord. And Jesus is saying, something greater is going to happen that you're going to marvel at. And he tells them what it is, for this the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to his Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That means you've already got it. And shall not come into condemnation, but is, already is, passed from death unto life. How can you believe on the Lord unless you've got spiritual life within you? And that's what this text is. You have passed from death to life. Belief didn't do it, but it shows you. It's the light that reveals what brought you from death to life. because the Son quickeneth whom he will. The word quicken means to make alive. You're alive in Christ. You're alive. Let's act like we're alive. We're real good at acting like we're dead sometimes. I'm real good at it. We've been brought to a lively hope because it's resurrection we're talking about. A lively hope by the resurrection of the dead. There's another sermon altogether there too. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear that shall live. That's the effectual call of regeneration. Brother Julian made that funny statement. He said that phone call was Jesus. Well, if it was, he would have had no choice but to answer it. Right? Because, let me tell you something. You can't tell him no in that call. You can't. You can't do it. There's no... Don't worry about, I'm going to miss that regeneration phone call. You can't help but answer it because you're dead. You can't do anything except just be there and let it happen. You're alive through Christ. The voice of the Son of God came to you and said, live, and you live. That wasn't the voice of the preacher. That wasn't the voice of the missionary. That wasn't the voice you read in your head when you're accepting Jesus or whatever. That is the voice of Christ. And you live. The hour is coming and now is. And it still is, my friends. It's ongoing. And that is what will keep happening until all the elect have been called. Okay? They may be in their mother's womb when they're called. And when that last elect is called, then cometh the end. And that's what he talks about in the next verse. Or two verses later, he says, for the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him all authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Are you worried about that, friends? You shouldn't be. The only way you can do good is you be born again. You see, my friends, I believe that everybody that's born again will go to heaven. All right? I do. Let me make some more statements. I believe that everyone that truly believes is born again. Okay, does that pass? Let me say it again. I don't want to be confusing. I believe if you truly believe, that is evidence that you've been born again. Okay, amen. I also feel, I'll say this. All true believers are born again. But not all born again are true believers. Can we accept that? Okay, all right. Does the Lord need us to believe? No, He does not. We ought to believe. We should believe. We ought to believe better than we do believe. Preaching to me. We should not lose our faith and our confidence. Paul said that, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Oh, we ought to believe all the more. But sometimes we're like the father of that son. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Okay, that's my confession of faith. I don't want that to be my confession of faith, though, all the time. It shouldn't be. Because sometimes I use that as a crutch. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. If your child constantly does something wrong, and they gave the same old lame excuse over and over and over again, would you get tired of it? Would you have something to say about it? I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me. I'm not preaching this to me. I know I fail. I'm tired of saying, well, I just helped out by unbelief. No, I'm sick and tired of unbelieving. I want to believe better than I do. Okay? So I'm going to put all I got into it. I'm going to use the brain that the Lord gave me. I'm going to use the faith that the Lord gave me. I'm going to pray for wisdom. I'm going to talk to you. They that fear the Lord spake often one with another. I'm going to talk to you. I'm not going to be Mr. Big Shot Preacher, you know, y'all work, you know, look, forget it. I'm just one of you. You're one of me. I'm going to talk to you like my best friends, because you are my best friends. I'm going to see you often. The bad news is this is not the last time I'll be here. I'm coming back. I'm so sorry. I'm very sorry. I know the address of this place. I'm coming back. You don't even have to invite me. I'll show up. If you don't invite me, I will show up. I want y'all to come see me. Nobody's coming. Nobody's coming. Story of my life. Story of my life. Brother Dave always comes out there. Nobody comes to see Brother Dave. You don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. San Antonio, my house. We have a good time. We'll go to church. You need to go to Texas. You need to go to some of these Texas meetings. You need to hear some Texas singing. It's always best where you grew up. I mean, I'm going to be honest. You know, we're all biased. Y'all think this is Florida singing's good? Sure you do. We can disagree and still love each other on that one. I mean, you ain't heard nothing yet till you go to Texas. We like to sing them loud. We like to sing them fast. We sing them loud and we sing them fast. If we get off key, we'll stop the leader off key, chide him, and start it all over again. We'll throw them to the sharks. We believe in the Texas two-step in our song leading. You lead two songs and you sit down. That's in the Articles of Faith. Thou shalt not lead more than two songs. If thou leadest three songs, thou art vain and proud of thyself. Therefore, thou should be set down. Does it work? Not all the time. Is it the best way to do it? No. Is it the only way to do it? No. It's the way we do it. Does it mean we're better? No. Does it mean we're worse? No. We're Primitive Baptist. Now, I believe, my friends, I'm very thankful that salvation is by grace. And I have two children that I have baptized that I myself have had to make the motion to take them off the church rolls. That's hard. I hope you never have to do that. If you do that, you know what I'm talking about. I did it. They messed up, and they're messing up. And I pray that they come back. I still love them. But they're idiots, okay? Just telling you the truth. I've got one son in the church, and he's exercising. It's not all bad. Baptized one of Leslie's children this year. When he came up out of the water, Maddox said, "That felt good." Everybody started laughing. And he was worried that he's dripping water on our carpet. He worried about that. He's a good boy. I love those two boys. It's not all bad. I just got stuff going on. So do you. Now my children, they have made a mistake. They followed the love. I think the devil got a hold of them. I think they got too big for their britches. I think they're trying to outsmart the Lord, trying to outsmart things. Comeuppance will come. But I'm thankful for grace, not to excuse their sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No. They're going to face the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to have hell on earth. But if they're one of the Lord's, then they're going to heaven. They're going to heaven. All right? That's why my flesh shall rest in hope. Job said that, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Okay, so all these troubles and all these cares and all these woes and all this stuff that you've got to shoulder and you take to the Lord in prayer, and you have your pity parties like I do, you have your bitter banquets, which I do, and you make the best way, and you get it, you go from day to day, and some days are wonderful, some days are not, and you go to meetings like this, and it's much better, and you're encouraged, but yet all this makes me look forward to a time when that Lord says, the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and they will come forth. We will meet Him in the air. He will take us home. And there we will ever be with the Lord. So shall we be. Where all is peace and love. Where there are no trouble. And we have that greatest peace we've ever known. Because, my beloved friends, we get a glimpse of it in meetings like this. When all time just stands still and we forget about the troubles and we feel the best we felt and we say, have mercy, Lord. God is great. He's greatly to be praised. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you that you built the church. Thank you that we have this fellowship. Thankful that I know the gospel. And that I can say, it is well. It is well. It is already well. It will always be well. Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And so therefore, He alone is worthy to be praised. And what is this weekend that we've given Him? Is it enough? No, friends, we can never give Him enough. But let's give Him all we can. And I know it will be well for us as we journey along in this world. May God bless you all, is my prayer. I love you very dearly. I will think about you often. I will pray for you. May not see you tomorrow or next week or next month.